Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to another episode of Love Letters Live. This is a show, as our regular listeners know, about people and stories and the letters they write to make other people's lives richer and better.
Right. Our guest today is Bakari Savage. Bakari was with us a few weeks ago and talking about writing love letters, thank you letters, which are very important for business and for personal life. And today he's coming back with another story about another love letter that he would like to write.
Yes. So, Bakari, let's just go right to you. And I know this is more of a personal family story today. So why don't you go ahead and talk about your family? I know you were an only child. You are an only child.
That is correct.
Go ahead.
Growing up being an only child, you kind of, it's very different. You know, not a lot of people can relate to it. Only other kids can relate to.
Well, tell us what that was like, and when you first realized you were an only.
You have to be able to adapt to a lot of situations. I've always gone to. I moved around a lot, so I went to different schools.
No,
so
why was that always, that you moved around a lot?
Just work, for, my mom. Once you start to, do better at work, you want to, have
so
better things.
So what was your parents' work? And where were you born?
I beg your pardon?
You're born in?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So my mom worked for EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, so the federal government, and my father owned convenience stores.
Mm-hmm. So wherever he moved, he would just be able to get another one?
Well, my parents were actually never married. Mm-hmm. They, I'm a love child.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, so they, I had a...
Oh, so you lived with your mom is what you're saying?
Right.
Oh, I see, okay. Yeah. So that's where you went. Why you went with your mother's work,
right?
And all children should be love children. Let me just say.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So that was, that was interesting. A lot of fun.
So it was you and your mom.
Yep. And that's how I was born. I mean, that was my upbringing.
Okay. So what were the places you lived and?
Just all over Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Not really outside of that area.
So is she still there?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Okay, so you're the one wandering.
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's just really cool because she recently retired, mm-hmm. and I was privy to that. And, it was a fantastic ceremony, and I got a chance to see a different side of my mom that I'd never seen before.
Well, can you tell us the side you did see growing up? I mean, a mom's a mom. I understand that. But what did she do with you and...
Well,
like she had to
I'm just going to be honest. I never really had a great relationship with my mother or my father. Mm-hmm. It was more or less, they were my parents, and mm-hmm. that was it.
So they took care of you. They fed you and clothed you and made sure you went to school and those kinds of things that parents do.
Exactly. Keep you out of trouble. But
well, somebody taught you some beautiful manners and good grades.
Yeah, my mom's responsible for that.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where we never had a friendship, and we never really knew each other outside of that, parent-child dynamic.
So your friends, you were kind of on your own for your friendships and your social life. And
right. Uh-huh. Which I think was important. It helped me to develop a lot of skills, mm-hmm. Skills that are incredibly useful.
Like what? Because you're a very charming, smooth fellow.
Such as... adapting to different situations, being able to make the most out of a worst possible scenario. So,
do you tend to naturally see the positive, or you have to work at it?
I think that's something that comes natural. It's, I don't think it should be anything that people should have to work at, because there's so much to, there's so much negativity out there, and, why waste your time being unhappy and, just going through life sad? It's not cool. It's not a way to go through life.
Yes.
So don't.
Yet some people do, you know, so you're lucky if you've got the kind of temperament that you don't.
And the right chemicals. I mean, some people have a chemical problem, and they tend to see the negative.
But it's also a tough thing to do to, you know, constantly keep your head up. And that's why it's important for you to, you know, it's okay to rely on your network. Because build up, and that's why it's equally important for you to, you know, make friends and build relationships of kindred spirits.
Well, so I know this friends and relationships is important to you.
Yes.
I can see it by the look on your face. That and also you mentioned it last time you were doing the show with us.
Right.
So have you always just been lucky in choosing friends? I mean, do you remember your first friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you felt?
Let's see. I think my first best friend... Mm-hmm. This kid named Gilbert Bent, and he was from Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm. And is this a school, a grammar school friend? Or?
Yeah, grammar school friend. And, I mean, we were inseparable for a long time. And then, you know, my family moved, his family moved, so then, you know, your kids.
How old were you when this?
Sixth grade, when we moved.
But you were when were you friends from like age
probably
10 or
like second grade up until fifth grade?
Okay,
yeah. So,
did your mother always like your friends, or was she a little unconscious of not aware of them so much?
Not really aware of them so much.
And she worked full time, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a full time job and social life, so. Yeah, she has her own things.
Yeah.
Adult things.
Exactly.
Going on. So it's, yeah.
So tell us about her retirement.
Okay. So my mom put in 42 years of service with the federal government. I mean, I think I'm on my, second, third job. I haven't worked that many years, and I'm just thinking, that's a long time. To be with one entity, one firm.
Of course, that's how it was then, I think, pretty much.
Right, exactly. And my generation has definitely redefined that. But the coolest thing was seeing her cohorts stand up and, you know, all contribute something, give something back to her. That was probably the most moving moment for me. And I was astounded.
Why were you astounded?
Because, you know, I knew that my mom was a cool person, suffice it to say. But I just never really had a chance to experience any of that other than just the simple relationship that we've always had.
But now, you knew she loved you because you knew she worked hard to take care of the two of you.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. It's just, you know, I felt deprived that she was keeping this, you know, this incredible part of her sort of, you know, in the dark for me. But it wasn't, and I still don't really know what it was. It's just something that...
You mean why she lived like that?
Right. I just kind of have to say, okay, that's... You know, that
did
was
she, did she like her work? I mean, when she came home at the end of the day, she was happy about having been there. And
You know, and I had a chance to get up and say some words, and that was the one thing that I said. There was never a time that she would bring work home. When she was home, she was home. And there was, you know, I'm sure that, you know, there were probably confidentiality, you know, agreements or something like that because there's a lot of, you know, legal cases that were going on. But... Never.
But
never
when she came
attitude.
Home, she was yours.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. You know, there was never anything about, oh, my day at work was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not once. So I think that is amazing.
It is amazing. So you never had to carry it on your shoulders that your mother was unhappy at work or doing something she didn't like.
Right. Not at all.
To take care of you. Yeah.
Not at all. And that's one of the things that I'm, you know, trying to have now, a good separation of work and personal life. I think that's really important. And I think that a lot more Americans are beginning to realize that now, especially with the downturn in the economy. People are going to be able to reconnect with their friends and family.
And write letters as gifts.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, people will begin to not let their BlackBerries run their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least now they have an opportunity to do that, or
right.
or a reason to do that.
Right. It's, you know, it's the reasoning.
Yeah.
But
so what did you see? What did you hear people say about your mother at this?
She's incredibly smart.
In ways that you didn't know she
in
was.
In ways that I never knew.
Mm-hmm. What else?
She's incredibly social. I just, you know, growing up, I would always think, well, you know, where did I get this from? Or, you know, where did this talent or where did this gift come from? And, you know, I know that a lot of my dad is really outgoing. Mm-hmm. And I get that from him.
Now, do you see him?
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we see each other. It's just, we don't have a good relationship. I just now, you know, I've always wanted to have, I've always wanted to have a good relationship mm-hmm. with my parents. There was just never the right time.
No, I understand that. And you sometimes, you know, parents have to be available for you to have one.
And now that's where I am with my mom, you know. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that day will come where, you know, I'll have that relationship with my dad.
But you know your dad well enough to be able to see where you got certain things from him, too, was really
right.
what I was asking. Uh-huh.
Right. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just really happy right now that I get a chance to see this part of my mom and to experience this and to, you know, hang out and have fun with her. So this year, I'm actually turning 29, and I was just talking with my mom, and you know, I was talking with some friends as well. Since I was 16, I've always gone on these, you know, pretty cool elaborate trips. For my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I actually spent a birthday
with your
my
mom.
Mom. No, no, without my mom.
Uh-huh.
So the last time I spent a birthday with my mom, I was, you know, I was in high school. I was probably 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that. So, I mean, I've gone to, you know, London, Paris, Shanghai, you know, Buenos Aires, everywhere for my birthday. And this year, I'm going to take a road trip with my mom. We're going to do the Petrified Forest, the Grand Canyon, and
how
the Vegas Canyon.
Oh,
you know?
Wonderful.
And I was telling my friends about this, and they go, really? Just because it's so abnormal for mm-hmm. me. But this is what I want to do. It's cool. You know, I'm having a chance to reconnect with, you know, this woman who essentially was
mother.
A stranger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now she's going to be a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and now she's going to be a friend. Exactly. And I'm really happy that I get a chance to spend this time with her. You know, she's 63 now. So, I don't, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, she remembers some good times.
Mm-hmm. And you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a pretty incredible trip to me.
So, so the love letter today is going to your mother. I'm going to say
yes.
Who gets your love letter today.
Yep. She's getting it. She's going to be the lucky recipient.
Okay. And did we know your mother's name? Did we hear you say your mother's name? I don't think so. I didn't ask, but
my mom's name is Bessie Lee.
Okay. That's a nice Alabama name.
Yep.
That's great. Okay. So, how would you start this? I'm sure you probably have an idea here.
She's, interesting about her is that she's a very resilient person, but she's incredibly emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was something that I was never really able to draw that connection. How can, you know, one person, you know, have such a contrast of emotions or emotional stability, so to say. So,
how does she show her emotional side?
She either shuts down, which is what I do, or she cries.
Oh.
You know? So I want to be careful with the way that I word it.
Sure.
You know? I don't want to inflict any emotional pain, but I do want to relay the fact that, hey, you know, I spent 28 years not really knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now I finally get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do I capture that? And I want to capitalize that.
Wait. Just what you said. It was lovely. You're not blaming. You're not saying anything was wrong. You're not assigning blame here. Okay. You're just saying I spent 28 years not really knowing who you are.
Okay.
And now it's going to be my joy.
Okay.
Or however you feel about that. So say it again.
Wow, I don't think I can put it as eloquently as you just did.
I'm just writing down what you said.
Okay.
So you're the eloquent one. Here, I spent 28 years not knowing...
Not really knowing you as a person,
mm-hmm.
but only as a mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, a provider.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm happy to get to know you as a person and, you know, say that you're my friend.
Mm-hmm. So, you know? Now, it would probably be a nice time to say what about her makes you want to be her friend. As long as it's a love letter, let's do it right.
Her upbeat personality. She's always happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which I think is a good thing and a bad thing. Because when you see someone who's always happy, you kind of think, well, is this really... truly happiness all the time, or are you hiding something?
So, can't you say that? I mean, this is a son, you know, you're talking to her now as a grown man.
Right.
And a strong grown man.
Thanks.
So, what would be wrong with saying, you know, you're always happy, I've only seen the happy side of you, yet I know that sometimes you do cry or shut down, and I'm here for all sides of you. Something like that, if that's what you want to say. I don't want to put words in your mouth, actually.
No, that's it. I was just about to say you're good.
But because you said this up here. It's just a matter of looking what you said. And
Yeah, but it's, you know, we talked about this the last time. It's it's nice to collaborate with someone else on this because it's, I think it's a little bit more succinct and it's, you know, it's quicker. It's easier.
Yeah. Sure. Efficiency is
better. Efficiency, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Janet is a real pro, and this is what she does in real life.
So, I have something to ask you two. What would you like to hear from, you know, your grown-up son?
Oh, I'll tell you what I think parents would like to hear. And Teresa, you say if I think parents would like to hear so much of what you did was right. And then think of the things that were. I know life, and to say, I know life wasn't always easy for you. I know it may not have been easy being a single mother raising a son and having the responsibility to making that son be a grown man with some substance and, responsibility in this world. Those kind of things. What would you want to hear?
Well, I think that the gift of friendship is the greatest of all, and what I work for with my, I don't have sons, I have daughters, but the fact that we are friends, and I don't parent anymore, but we're just friends, is the greatest compliment that anybody could give me.
How long did it take for you to become friends?
Maybe easier with girls. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I made the decision, and my daughter, my older daughter, can remember also when it happened because we've talked about it. She was in college, and I made the decision that she was grown up now, and I didn't want to be her mother anymore. I wanted to be her friend, and so I made that choice.
See, that's the thing. You know, I just feel like I have to make up for lost time, and I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to, you know, let's go and check out this restaurant. Let's go and see this scene and this site and, you know, do this just because, you know, this has only happened a few months ago.
Okay.
You know,
so
I feel like I have a new person.
You have a new friend.
Yeah.
So you want to say, I want to make up for lost time. How wonderful.
I do.
That's just what you said. Write it down. And by the way, we talk about this in workshops and the audio seminars that we're going to be offering, that you need to write everything down that you feel and think of, and don't be inhibited. Don't silence yourself. Just write it all down and then look at it and see which of those things you want to include.
Okay.
You're just going to be sitting privately with yourself. You're not going to have anybody looking over your shoulder. So you don't have to be embarrassed or inhibited. Mm-hmm. And most of what you say is going to be nice. So I don't know whether everything you would put down as a memory you'd want to use in one letter.
Right.
But, okay, so I want to make up for lost time.
Well, Janet, doesn't this go back to the goal of the letter? And
yes.
we didn't ask that question. What is your goal?
It seems like this is the goal. I want to make up for lost time. The goal is just something you say
the
to
goal,
yourself. What do I want to accomplish here?
I think there's two goals.
What?
One is, I just really want to say, I love you.
Yes.
And two, you know, I'm sorry for being a jerk. You know, I was a jerk.
Well,
a few times.
Everybody's a jerk a few times.
I mean,
you were
for a while, I was a jerk.
You were a growing boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Children are like that.
And, right. You know, I'm not really sure how to say this, but I actually like you as a person.
Mm-hmm. I like you.
You know, how do you, I guess, just say it like that? Or is
yes,
there
just say it
a
like
better
that.
Way to say it?
How could there be a better way to say that?
Okay.
I think that's one. I like you as a person. And then to say, you know, I like that you were such a hard worker all your life. I like that you were so responsible for the two of us all your life. And even though you didn't always have time to talk to me, you know, that in a way that maybe I would have liked, I knew that you were out there working to take care of us. Those kind of things, if that's what you feel. If that's what you feel. If it isn't, then you don't want to say it because you don't ever want to
right.
put anything in a love letter is your truth put to paper.
Right.
I heard you say early on that your parents kept you out of trouble. That's important.
See, I think that's more of their responsibility.
It
you
is,
know,
but you
parent,
can still say you appreciate it.
Right.
Because kids do get in trouble, bad
right.
trouble.
right. I do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate it.
Right. I'm not saying that. Right. That is parents' responsibility. And when you have children, you better well be ready to keep them out of trouble and
right.
to raise them to be good adult human beings. But still, if you raise a son who is liked by everybody, then that son can say thanks.
Right.
You help polish me. I'm welcome wherever I go. People smile when they see my face. I mean, you're not going to say that because you're too modest, but if I were writing this love letter for you, you know, to say, you've raised me well.
Mm-hmm.
You were busy, and whatever time you had, you raised me well. I'm a product I like, mm-hmm. and I feel comfortable in the world. I'm welcome wherever I go. I have you somehow to thank for this.
That's what most parents want for their children, healthy parents want
yes.
for their children, for them to grow up and be happy and be successful at whatever they choose to be successful at.
Right.
And
mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking on the phone a lot more, you know, recently, and that's, you know, one of the things that, yeah, she always says, you know, are you dating? Are you, you know, do you have friends? You know, mm-hmm. who are you hanging out with tonight? What are you going to do?
She's
what's your favorite beer to drink?
Yeah.
You know,
she's still mm-hmm. concerned about you.
Yeah. And then, you know, she always just says, I just want you to be happy. Go mm-hmm. out and have fun. You know?
Yes. That is what parents want. I mean, they want their children to be happy in a way that's legitimate, not
mm-hmm.
just because they're,
right.
you know, with good decisions and good choices.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So you started to say you saw sides of her you never knew at,
right.
at the retirement.
Yeah.
So how did that make you feel when you heard other people lauding her?
To be honest, I felt robbed.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
That you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just the honest truth
mm-hmm.
of it. I
mm-hmm.
just felt, you know, hey, you know, what's up with that? Why'd you keep this away from me for so long?
Okay, so there's a way of saying this because, you know, a love letter is a letter where you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable or blame.
Right, and I don't...
So how do we say this in a way that's a compliment? Because in a way, not in a way, it is a compliment. You're saying you are this pot of gold that I didn't get to see.
Right.
You're saying I feel this way because you are so wonderful. So how do we say something like that that lets a person know that it's a plus? When I heard others talking about sides of you I never knew.
To See,
I must admit, I felt a little cheated.
I'm going to have to yield to you on this because one trait, character trait of only kids is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't deny it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to yield to you.
Okay, so I can see what a treasure you always were.
On this one.
And you know what you just said. Children can be selfish. But now, I'm no longer a child.
You're good.
And what?
And I want to move forward with building a relationship, mm-hmm. a friendship with you.
I'm eager to grab some of those fabulous qualities I heard about.
Janet, you need to speak up a little.
I'm sorry. Fabulous qualities I heard about for myself.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I was busy taking notes for you here, because it's important to take those notes. Just write it all down, and if you were to just be writing all this down, you'd see the way to do that.
Right.
But I think the important thing is to take what you feel, even if it's. And by the way, we've talked about this before. You don't need to have simply a heart full of love to write a great love letter. You
right.
can have a heart full of ambivalence. You can have a heart full of confusion and anger and ticked off. And still write a wonderful love letter, because all of those things we feel, all of that is a result of love that we wish we had more of. And isn't that, after all, a compliment? There are people walking through the world, I don't want love from them.
Right.
I mean, there are people who are not so terrific.
Right.
But there are people who may not have given me very much, but I could still see that I want something from them. That's the compliment. That's the love letter. You're too good to let another month go by where I don't know every bit of you.
Part of the challenge of a great love letter is turning what might be seen as negative into the positive. And a very good reason we suggest that you write a love letter, let it cool off for a while, mm-hmm. draft it on notebook paper or scratch paper of some kind, and take a look at it. I like to leave at least 24 hours.
Yes.
And then I go back and I look at it as an objective person and make sure that everything that I say in there comes off as exactly the way that I want it to, and that it won't hurt feelings. It won't do the opposite of what I
exactly.
want.
And by the way, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because a love letter is that wonderful combination of feeling and planning, preparation and passion. And so why not benefit from it? So write it out. Don't send off that first blurt. Not at all. That's not what's the point. The point is preparing this and making sure that it's the most authentic you on that piece of paper, and that you're saying just what you want to say, and your goal is to say, I love you. You want to make sure that the whole tone of this is, I love you. And I love you doesn't mean everything you've ever done was perfect. I love you means I love you.
Right. In spite of all of that.
Absolutely. But that's part of love. I mean, flawless is not too interesting in life, I don't think.
No.
No. Okay.
And none of us are.
Thank you, Bakari, for coming back to do this with us. This is a really wonderful example.
This is my pleasure. This is
an important love letter.
Yeah, it's, incredibly important. Probably one of the most important pieces, documents that I've ever written in my life. And
I hope it will be. And your children will find it someday in her treasure box. And know a lot about how you loved and about her. And I just want to say one more really quick thing, is we don't ever send a love letter for what we get, but if you get an interesting response you'd like to share with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I will definitely
know.
Do so.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And come back anytime, because you are a wealth of love letters,
and
we can tell.
Bring Bressie Lee, because maybe she'd like to write a letter.
Yeah, this has been a great therapy session.
But
as well.
Yes, it always is.
It always is.
Always.
It's a treat to yourself.
Anytime you think clearly, it's a great therapy session.
Yeah, I mean, especially because this is, so incredibly new to me. You know, I'm having all these, new emotions, and
Good
you
for
know,
you.
Just new feelings and new thoughts for this.
That's right.
And
person. This, listeners, is just what a man should be. Point out. And please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, you can see here that writing a love letter is its own special occasion.
So to all our listeners and to Bakari, thank you. Until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet, the
bye-bye.
Squad.